What's so great about?
Welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that is once, twice, three times a series, and I love you.
Yes. I love you too, Terry, and I don't care who knows.
My name's Terry. Oh.
My name's Andy.
Andy, and a bloody hell are you?
Great. Great. I forget what I was saying there.
I too am well.
What was that a reference to, Terry?
Well, it's a reference to the fact that we are putting a little bit of stank on the fact that we're talking about our favourite single series, double series, or triple series. Ooh. So basically, we're talking about our favourite series that had one season, two seasons, and three seasons.
Yeah.
I could have made that way cleaner.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And chances are it'll be the shortest segment of the podcast. But
look.
You got some catching up to
do. Yeah, man. Mea culpa for last week.
Does that mean my fault?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. How about that? We had family visiting, and then Faye was off to a spa night for when we usually record. And then the other days just didn't work. It was Halloween.
Hey.
Yeah. How was?
After you. I'll go first.
Yes, please.
It was great. Johnny was a dead patient. And, it was a nice, simple thing. We went trick-or-treating, went around the houses. Last year, her costume was causing her all sorts of trouble. Like, she was a ghost with glasses, and the thing kept going over her face, and we kept having to readjust. So just went around, nice easy costume. Went around with her cousin. They all came back to our place for a bit of a bonfire in the fire pit sort of thing. And throwing snappers or whatever they're called. What are they? Snappers?
Snaps, yeah.
Okay. I feel like that's wrong. Yeah. Snaps. Yeah. So it was nice. It was lovely. Myla didn't partake, but
did she go out?
No. But so Kerry actually stayed with Myla and I just went with Joni.
Nice.
But it was grand. Yeah. It was without incident, I would say. But it was fun. She is literally the next
day. Did you dress up?
I did not.
Funzo over there.
I wore her for her dead patient. She had a headband with a needle going into it.
Cool.
I wore that sometimes. So that was what I did. And then literally the next day, and since then it's been Christmas. Everything. Well, she's watching Christmas movies. She's decorating her room. Like, she's not wasting any time.
Wow.
But how was your Halloween? More important.
It was.
Oh, tell me.
So, Bonnie, we all went out together. I think Faye and Gus had a bit of a tummy bug or something, but they still trooped. Faye was a witch. Nice. Gus was. Adam dressed the pumpkin, and then he shit himself. And got poo on the pumpkin costume, so that one had to go. Shit himself, like, he was in his nappy, obviously, like,
he shit through his clothes.
And then we had a ladybird outfit, and we put him in that, and then
shit through that.
No, he's okay. Bonnie was Pikachu, so you had a Pikachu onesie. Great. Yellow face, red cheeks, all that.
Brilliant.
Stuff. I was a pirate.
Look at you. Look at me.
But what happened was, we were getting ready to leave. I'd say we were going out at 5:30.
Yeah.
And kids started coming to the doorbell, and Bonnie was so excited. So it was like, I answered the first one, and I was like, there you go. And then she was like, Dad, like, I wanted to do a witch. I was like, okay, we'll do the next one. Next one shows up with this, like, I think he was like 9, but the mask was so elaborate and fucking, like,
scary.
So she was shook from seeing it.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, okay. And we calmed her down and we brought her out to a few houses, and it was good. And then the same kid showed up at, like, a house we were at, but he was, like, right beside her. And she was like, oh, I just want to go home. And we were like, your friend, like, we're meeting them. Like, why don't we just in, like, you know, a different estate down by where the creche is. So we, like, jumped in the car and, like, brought her down. And it was like, once she saw her, she was, like, so excited, jumping up and down. And then it was like, great. And then, like, we were like, so we're just going to go for a few houses with these guys. And she was like, no, Dad, no, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. I'm tired. Yeah. And then I was like, okay. And I was like trying to like coax her out of it. Wasn't happening. So then we had to say it to her friend. Look, Bonnie's going to come. She burst out crying. Because she was so excited to see Bonnie and come around with her. And then Gus was in the car and he's like banging on the window trying to get out to see the other kids. So we went home and then it was like...
chaos.
Oh, like Bonnie was in bed by 6:30. Like she just like, came home, went to bed, didn't warn her about any of her sweets. And it's just like very overwhelming. Like, sometimes I forget that she's only 4.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm like... And then I was, me and Farrah talking, I was like, I'm actually like really, you know, disappointed for her because she was so excited for it. And then it was like, you know.
It's just that one, it's always like that's that one thing that you're not even thinking of like, okay, that'd be good. I'll be home by this time or whatever. I'll do this. We'll get that done. And then just some little fuck. It's always a fucking boy as well.
He's not doing anything wrong.
Any boys under 10 are little shits.
Yeah.
I will die on that hill.
I have a son who's under 10.
Yeah, present company. I mean, genuinely, you know, obviously not yours.
Not but, he's not a shit yet.
But no, but
gender.
Do you know just fucking, you just know the ones.
Yeah.
Boys from like,
he was
7 to 10.
He was actually grand, but I was just like, you know, don't know, maybe it's just the way things go these days. Like, I don't really know about that. Mask that like
excuse me that's very inappropriate there's actually young kids
in my day it was just you know
and that's literally the sort of thing that a parent would have said and we'd be like fucking
shut
parent.
Up
yeah
like,
yeah
you know, like,
oh god anyway
that's happened since
I tell you it's been, I have I'm just gonna say it right now I missed you Terry because I realized you know I think when there's no pod and I'm like all right grand and
great, I have a night to myself.
Don't have anything to do. I don't have to watch anything or anything like this. But it's when it gets to like by the time it got to like Friday last week, I'm like, it's like I got to send him a message or something. I got to touch base here.
I didn't realize until I heard the message. I was like, that's what I've been missing this week.
Yeah,
the camaraderie.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
Yeah, lots happened as of today. It's what? Doomsday clock is at midnight with the election result?
Trump
it's certified?
Has been elected. It's a landslide.
God, like, by 6 million votes or something, like.
Do you know what, like.
Don't start talking about how Harris wasn't strong enough.
No, it's not even that. It's just that she's a politician.
So she should be doing the job, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you know why?
But he's not.
I'm trying to get into the head of whatever 50
good
million
luck, like.
Idiots. No, I'm trying to get in the head of like 50 million, however many people voted. That it's like, I still think that the part of his appeal, because like you would think like, how are people actually voting after all this?
I'll
happened?
Never know.
You know what I mean?
I'll never understand.
And I think a lot of them are just
idiots.
You know what? There's one thing that he has, and it's not even a good thing. But he's just like, I was only talking to someone about this today, and I was like, I seen he won. I was like, oh fuck's sake! And then they were talking about, it's like, why are people voting for him? I'm like, do you know what? Like, I have no idea what sort of person Kamala Harris
That's
is.
That's her name, mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You won me over.
I didn't. Yeah, the Western world.
Fucking name. But I was like, do you know what? I have no idea who she is. You know, like I know who he is, and I don't like it, but I know who he is.
So
do you know what I mean?
But hold on,
I'm not justifying it at all. But
push
this
back a little bit.
That's fine, but no, just to clarify, I'm not justifying him getting.
But
but that's what I think a lot is in a lot of people's heads that like they know what they're getting with him.
So you know what you're getting. You're getting a guy that fucking drove the country into the ground first time around.
Hey.
A convicted felon.
Yep.
Like a you know. Possible rapist, racist, crook, you know, all this stuff. And the margin, they're like, oh, it's going to be a close one. It's like, I was looking at it today, I'm like, fucking hell.
They can have no one to blame but themselves. But also, do you know what? Also, I don't think Kamala Harris was a strong enough opponent for him. She came in because Biden was losing his fucking mind.
And she mopped the floor with him in the debate still, like, you know?
Yeah, but like that's still a popular it's not about who has the best policies and who has become a big circus, like, you know, like, and he's the fucking the ringleader. You know, I don't know. Like
ringmaster.
Whatever. Damn.
So, you know, exciting times, huh? still chance. Look, he doesn't get sworn in until January 6th, all right? There's still time.
For what?
For anything to happen. Anything. An act of God. Anything could happen.
I tell you, he dialed his makeup up something fierce today. He's like straight up almost in blackface, like today. Like it's insane.
Oh God.
I'm really happy. And to be fair,
you're
Rob,
happy.
Happy. Sorry, I'll finish that sentence. I'm really happy that I don't live in America.
Yeah.
I actually
feel sorry for half the country. It's like with Brexit. It's like with Brexit, where it's
half of your country are idiots.
Yeah, and you're saddled with them. And I know we're kind of like that, but it's not.
Ours is kind of like that with the immigration thing and the new
but
racism
that's not,
thing.
That's not even half the country. No, but
they're very vocal. Yeah. So you would think, you know what I mean, that there's...
Like,
I mean,
let's be funny. Let's, you
please.
Know. Hey,
here we go. This is going to be a good one.
No, okay.
Go on.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go fuck yourself.
Oh, he hasn't lost it.
He hasn't missed a step. What I'm trying to say is like the right-wing party... Mm-hmm. As I'm speaking now, we'll never be leaders in government here.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, you know, came close in France.
Yeah.
You know, they are now, you know, in the States. I don't know what you would call them. I mean, conservatives, whatever, in the UK, like,
I don't know. I'm already
bored.
I'm bored. Yeah, to be honest. I'm bored talking about it.
What else happened since my beloved...
Huh?
Is no longer with
my ETH.
Other, yeah.
Now, so for those who don't follow football, Man United's manager was shit canned with 17 million in his back pocket.
He's worth every penny.
But to be honest, like I still kind of think like I wouldn't say I feel sympathy or I feel bad for him.
I do.
He's just fine. You know what I mean? I think. Do you know what I
but
find?
But he bought in. He wanted that job, and he like. You know, he was around the town and he
here's
got involved.
Here's a few things I would say, right? Yeah. I think his players let him down more so than he let the club down, right?
100%. What are you talking about?
However, I can't put my finger on, and not even just Ten Hag, but maybe in the last 10 years, I can't think of a player who's, particularly Ten Hag, who's come to United and has been improved. You know what I mean? Fernandez.
Yes.
Would be one.
Yeah. Fernandez.
But. Maybe Shaw ish. I don't even
he was,
know.
That was good. That was the whole thing. Like, he was good. That's why they signed him. That's why they paid like, 30 million for him.
You would think that, like, I do think Ten Hag failed in the sense that he wasn't able to get this group of clowns to fit in the car. You know what I mean? Like, he's. God, I'm killing it with
no,
the analogies.
No, because here's what I would say, right?
Go on.
Like, those stats I've sent it on, it's like, they're -7.
They're
XG.
Yeah.
So it's like the system is working.
They're just not putting the ball in the back of the net.
And he can't run onto the pitch and boot it in. Like the West Ham game, the game that got him sacked, is a perfect example. Like, should have been 4-0 up at halftime, missing open goals, missing from, you know, eight yards out. And then like they go behind, we get it back, and then it was a shocking decision. The VAR decision for the penalty or whatever like that. Like, but like the game should have been out of sight. You know, it's in that case, live the fight another day or whatever. Yeah. But it'll be two wins in a row. And, you know, possibly you go on a bit of a run. All right. Think back to the Palace game. It's the same thing. It was you fucking should have been 3-0 up at halftime, almost conceded in the last minute. The keeper makes a great save. But like this, the chances are being created. Should be out of sight with the way they're playing.
It's just that you're finishing.
But it's from
it's literally the finish.
It's from everybody. Like, it's the finish. It's not just from one person. And you're like, just fucking put the ball in.
Surely Rashford's driving you mental.
Oh, man. But, like, these guys will always let him down. I'm gone negative now because I feel very sorry for Ten Hag. The Brentford game, we won 2-1.
Yeah.
Right. They had 19 shots on goal in the second half.
Yeah.
And they scored 2.
Yeah.
I mean,
Brentford did or United?
United
had
19 shots in 45 minutes and scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, what?
What's happening there?
That's not a good return. Like, two goals from 19 shots is not a good return. It's good you scored 2 goals in the second half.
Yeah.
Should be 4. Should be 5. Whatever. Like, and they're good chances.
I think
you're not doing anything to help them. You know what I mean?
And when I see players like, you know, like, not to pile in on Rashford, but like,
he can't be your main guy.
I feel like he's 100% down tools. I think, you know what I mean? Like, he just, what is it? There's obviously some mental thing there.
Yeah.
Because, like,
when he's on,
it's like he hasn't gotten, it's not like he's, you know, I don't know how old he is, but he's not. He's
26 now.
But, like, still, you'd think prime of your career, 26. And he's worse than ever, like, you know what I mean?
Two seasons ago.
Do you think he's crocked from carrying the load
for a
few years?
Yeah, two seasons ago, he scored 30-plus goals. On Ten Hag's first season.
Yeah.
He scored 30-plus goals. And you're like, okay, you know? You cannot count on him to be the main guy, is what I mean, at the club. And, like,
I wouldn't even count on him. I wouldn't count on him to even be a starter. Personally, yeah. If you're Man United, if I'm putting this is Manchester United Football Club we're talking about, yeah,
putting that on you,
then I wouldn't have. He's not good enough
at the moment.
To start.
I mean,
very few of them are good enough to start for what you would consider a Man United team.
I was sad that he's gone.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a good sign that the way the club is operating now, that they've went out and got this guy.
With minimal fuss, has to be said.
It's reminiscent of sacking Rodgers and bringing in Klopp,
yeah.
I think.
It's like, we knew what we wanted, just got to get it done.
And you know what? Give them the time. Give them whatever. Like, you know, I think I was talking with a couple of friends on Saturday night and they were saying it had gone too toxic. And toxic is the word, I think.
Eventually, sometimes it's almost out of the manager's control where the atmosphere, the fans, the mood, like that's kind of always the straw that breaks the camel's back is when like they're kind of turning on.
But like,
you know.
Like
they need to appease the you know, torch.
But sometimes you have to stick with it. Like, look at Arteta. Like, his third
only to let him go.
His third season, he's a wanker. But his third season, they lost their first three games, and they're bottom of the league.
Yeah,
at the international break, and then I think I don't know if they won the next one or drew, but they stuck with him, and he came out of it. And I think I don't know if they would have come out of it.
Mm.
The side, like. How would I say this? Like, they should have, if the fucking players would put the ball in the net. They would, like, statistically.
Son of a bitch, ball, why don't you just go home?
Statistically, they should have been much higher than where they are. Yeah. But it's, you know.
It's a damned XG. Do you know, I started
it's
listening.
It's not even the XG. It's the players.
And the playing as well.
No, but the play has been good. Like, there's been some really good chances created. And you're like, how the fuck do you miss that?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, you know,
a Dalot one.
What? Like,
I know he's not a striker, but like,
it doesn't matter. You scored goals from outside the box. It's like, I'm like, why are you trying to like blast it in? Like, just fucking put it in. Like,
I saw, I started listening to How to Win the Premier League. You know that audio or the book by Ian Graham, the stats guy.
No,
he worked with Liverpool. He worked at Spurs, then worked at Liverpool with Klopp's era and all this. And it was breaking down all the stuff of XG and all this, but like how they come to calculate it and all this. It started off interesting and then it got kind of boring. I don't even know why I brought it up. But, I was going to say something else there. I forgot. Never mind. Oh, what do you think of Gary Cotterill's...
wanker.
Oh my God. He's interviewing Amorim and he's like... So he's interviewing United's new manager in Portugal.
Yeah.
But like, while he's still managing this Portuguese man, while he's still managing a Portuguese team in a Portuguese league in Portugal, he's like, in English, please.
Yeah. And he's like, no. And I thought he handled it really well.
It actually did him more favours because he came across like very kind of like, oh, nice. Yeah. Like, oh, sorry.
This means a lot to me or whatever that. Yeah. Like, and he was like, you know, I can't, they won't be able to understand. You're like, they've had 25 minutes of Portuguese. I'm like,
we want 10 seconds of English. It's like, who is we?
Yeah.
And second of all, he's like, it's a cold shoulder to all your English fans.
This fucking guy. Like, and I don't know if you remember when like Ten Hag came in, he was like chasing him with the mic at one point. And like, he's like,
he's getting in the car.
Yeah. And he's like, and it's like Ten Hag's just ignoring him.
Problem?
I'm like, this guy, like, this fucking guy.
Hey, I had a very interesting day yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about it. Tell me everything.
I was filming an ad with Shay Given.
Nice.
In town. And I mean, this was as the week went on, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, this is a proper, like, there's like, oh, we'll send you a call sheet. And I've seen a big list of the crew. And I'm like, there was a crew there about like maybe 30 people, like, you know,
step up from before.
This is by far the biggest most official thing I've done. Like, there was catering, hair and makeup.
What was catering like?
It was fine. I didn't stick around for the lunch because it was taking too long and it kind of gone over anyway. So I'm like, I just wanted to. I was happy with how it went. So I just was like, you know, I'm just going to get out of here before I say something stupid when we're all eating.
Showmanship. But, that's it for
me. Yeah. But, and you know what the funny thing was? Because I was doing
What's the ad?
It's,
can you say? Are you?
I don't know if I should. But it's a beer ad. Although I kind of said it last week, yeah. But I'll just say it's a beer ad.
But what's
with an Irish international?
You said it. You just literally said Shay Given like 2 minutes
Did
ago.
Did I? Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I'm even being like, who cares?
No, what's the scenario of the ad, though?
So we're at a pub and it's basically he's kind of the straight man and I'm like the annoying friend.
Hey, just like me.
Exactly. So it's kind of like... what was it? Where like he's loving Christmas and I'm saying, it's like Kerry was laughing. It's like, this is you. Yeah. He's like, when I'm like, not me. I don't, yeah. You know, I always get the same presents every year and all this. And then there's another one. It was two ads. And then there's another one where it's like, yeah, I'm trying to guess where he's never played because there's a thing of like, oh, there's a trip to Copenhagen you can get. And it's just me listing through all the countries and getting more annoyed that I'm getting it wrong. Yeah. So it was fun. But you know what? The only thing was like, I didn't consider it was like we've 2 pints in front of us the whole time. Like every 3 minutes they had to change it. And I was there for about 5 hours, 6 hours, and like they had to change
pints.
They had to change out the pints every 3 minutes and they have to put like this turkey baster thing in it to hold the head for as long as possible. But like they'd be that guy's one job was just filling the pints and all this, and he'd put them down, and then there'd be a bit of talking about how we're going to do this, blah blah blah. Okay, you ready? Oh, the pints. Like, oh, you have to wait another few minutes.
Waste
for
the pints, huh?
Yeah. And I was like, God, I didn't even consider. Like, this guy does this. Like, he was saying like whiskey's so much easier because it's like they just put fake ice cubes in and it holds for 6 hours. Like, great. But like, there was extras behind us who were just like kind of. I was asking. I was like, what are you saying when you're doing your extra work? They're like, just miming ABCs. like all this sort of stuff. So like it was really good and I was incredibly nervous going in because it was like I was so new, but like a lot of the guys who were like directing and the creative director and all like were just so sound. I was like, I could have easily just been mates with these people, like you know, Father Ted quotes and like that sort of stuff. A lot of them knew Tony. One of them worked with him on that one Clickbait back in the day.
Oh,
remember?
yeah it's and, a good and all that good yeah. stuff on that yeah.
So like the ad was quite funny. Like there's stuff that I've done before where I'm like, I don't know, but like, you know, I'll do it. But you know, but this one was actually like quite good, or quite funny. And so
is it going to be on the telly or is it going to be?
I don't
on
think
the
so. I think it's just on the socials. I think. Mm. But they were saying because like, oh, well, for the 16:9, which is like the vertical thing, we'll do this. But then for the wider one. We'll get you in whatever way they were talking. I was like, oh, wider one, like, is that going to be? But on the thing it said for social,
okay,
you know, so I think it's just social, but it should be out in like a week or two.
Exciting.
It was very exciting and I was just constantly all the time, I was like, was that all right, like, do you want me to do it?
So when is Shay Given coming on the podcast?
that's two
thus far. I know, shooter, like,
I'll chat to him,
get him on.
I've got to get my boy Big Keeve on first. Kelleher,
Queeveen Kelleher.
Yeah, it's actually Queeveen. Okay. I thought it was Queeveen, yeah. But he corrected me because we're
okay. Yeah, we're bring him on too. We're
great.
In the pub the other night having the discussion who should be Ireland's number one. And
obviously, Big Keeve.
Bazuna was in there before he got injured. You know.
Yeah, but now,
hey, look,
let me tell you something. Kelleher will walk into any team in the world on his current form, except Liverpool.
Any team in the world.
He's fucking surely, are you seeing this? Like, he's fucking insanely good.
He's a
at
very
the
good keeper.
Like, insanely good. Like, way better than a number two should be.
Yeah.
It's great. But
so he'll probably end up at, like...
Where do you think?
It wouldn't be bad for Chelsea, actually. They've got a bit of a goalkeeping problem.
Yeah.
We were talking about it the other day.
I mean, it would kill me, but he would 100% be good enough.
We're talking about it the other day. Like, you know where actually he'd be perfect for if West Ham were doing better would be West Ham. They're crying out for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't advise them to go there now because they're in the bad spot.
Yeah, yeah.
But like someone like that, like Fulham already have one of the better ones that was number two in Leno. But like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, goalkeeper's a hard position
It is.
To like Pickford, like England's number one, plays for Everton. Which is kind of mad when you think about it.
It
like,
is mad. It? Like, I don't know why I keep getting drawn to him. I've seen you beat me in the fantasy this week, by the way. I keep getting drawn
beat
to him.
Beat you with
in the
like
fantasy.
Nine people as well. Like,
nine people?
I only had like nine players, man.
Oh, fuck's sake. Yeah. There was one or something that you got. I can't remember what it was.
Bruno.
Yeah.
And he got three bonus points for some reason.
Fuck it. Do you know what? I normally don't. It doesn't bother me, but it bothers me when you beat me. I don't know why.
I'm on.
I hear about it.
I didn't mention it. You brought it up.
No, yeah, that's fine. Fair
I'm on the only player in the league now to win the last four. I looked it up. I'm still 6 points off the top.
Like. Yeah, I know. But a few points were taken off the top by I don't know. It was Egan.
Egan
was at
the top. Lost last week, I think.
And then so it's
you know, easy to be top when you get first pick 2 years in a row and you get Haaland like both times. Like.
I still can't believe my luck. Someone was ahead of me and Salah was free and he went with KDB or something.
Sean picked Palmer.
Palmer over Salah.
But he's like,
I mean, he's great, but like
I think he is up there with him with points, like, you know.
I think Salah's the highest points at the minute.
Does he?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, ahead of Haaland.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Hey! Oh, look at us!
Just trying to meet you.
I watched a movie, Terry.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I watched The Boy and the Heron.
Now, I was gonna stick this on last night after football to be like, I'll watch it too, and then I was like, it's over 2 hours now.
Yeah,
it's too long.
Oh, look at this!
Too long for that for a half 10 at night. I can't stay up till half 12. You know.
Do you know what I was very excited about when I seen it? I was like,
it just popped up on Netflix.
I was like,
I know they have the Ghibli deal now.
Yeah. I started watching it with Joni and then turned it off.
I
really didn't know anything about it, so I was kind of like, and she was like, can you turn this off? I was like,
this is weirding me out, man.
Yeah, sure. Do you know what, like, I still don't really know what I thought of it. Like, I don't think I liked it. Visually it was probably the best looking one.
Did you do subs or dubs?
Dubs.
Yeah, so you got
dubs and subs.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. You got Pattinson.
Yeah, I couldn't. Do you know what annoyed me? I couldn't place anyone, and I knew they were all someone. You know what I mean? I was like, I wish I'd have known at the start.
Patterson's a little freak, like.
He's a bit of a freak, isn't he?
I like him. That's what I like about him. Like,
Who was he playing? The Heron?
Yeah.
It's just, it was unsettling at times, and it's definitely not for kids. It's like a Ghibli 12s is like a 15s,
really.
Yeah,
it's like fucking 18s.
Yeah. But it
watched
was,
this only on Halloween.
It looked fantastic. It was just a bit, it felt a little bit clunky to me. I feel like, part of me feels like if I watched it a second time.
What's great about cinema, Andy?
Like, because I, like,
why
I,
are you
I
willing
wanted
to give that a second go?
Because I'm interested. I have, there's a link there.
Because it's Ghibli. Because it's me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like.
Because I trust. You know what I mean? It was like when Scorsese did The Irishman, and then I didn't really like it the first time, but I went back to watch it again because I trusted Scorsese.
Really, ever watch Killers of the Flower Moon?
I will watch it at some stage. If it's easily accessible, I will watch it over a period of 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's the thing. You gotta have that Apple TV.
Yeah.
Plus. It's the worst one it could have ended up on.
I know.
Yeah.
But you know what I came across? I don't know if this will be of interest to you at all. Well, it will. You're a Beatles fan. But. Now, this made me audibly gasp when I seen this. And you're going to be like, this made you gasp? Where I was going through Disney Plus and I was just looking for something. And I seen, because I'd seen a clip of it like a year or two ago. And I'm like, what is this? Where my boy Rick Rubin's talking to Paul McCartney about the Beatles.
I've seen this.
Six episodes.
Yeah.
It's in black and white, and like they're proper. Because Rick Rubin's like obviously the big producer. So like he's asking really good questions. And Paul's like, no, I never actually thought of it that way. But yeah,
question,
you're right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and when I was watching it, and I literally had the thought when I was in episode two, and I'm like, I have not moved or looked away.
Great.
I've rewound a few times to even say, what was that? What was he saying? And I'm like, it's mad how I can have this attention. Like, I haven't even checked my phone. I've done nothing. I haven't shifted my weight. I'm just like, open mouth, slack jawed yokel watching this. And I'm like,
hey, Carrie.
Like, yeah. I'm like, this is the sort of thing that'll hook me, you know. But it's fucking brilliant. I've been watching and listening to a lot of Rick Rubin at the minute. He keeps popping up on my algorithm because I watched
one of on YouTube or whatever, like.
But fucking hell.
Hey,
so good.
I watched something about music.
Oh.
In that I watched a musical.
Oh.
In that
Joker.
Yes.
Tell me about it. I seen you watched it on Letterboxd, and I want to know what does the big dog think of it?
It stinks.
Really?
It's not.
But Roy Keane said it's not a musical. Is that true?
It's barely a musical. They sing in it. But Roy Kane's kind of on something if he... You know, La La Land.
Yeah.
The songs in La La Land are happening within...
the world.
Like, yeah, they burst into song and then they stop singing and it goes on or whatever. Or they sing to one another.
It's just like they're just singing to us.
It's like he's just singing to himself. It's like, is that one in his... You know, it's like Joker dream sequence. All of the songs seem to be a dream sequence. Like, nobody sees that he's singing or whatever that. And I was like, oh, okay. You know.
So it's just a dream. It's just like a
cheap... Well, he's singing. Like, there's a point where it's like he's on the TV and he's back in Arkham or whatever. And then he's like singing "For Once in My Life." And he's singing it terribly. Huh. I think that's the point.
Right.
But it's annoying. And he's like, "For once in my life, I have someone who needs me." And you're like, okay. Yeah, and then like, but he's walking around with other inmates singing this, you know.
This
and then it was
already.
Like, when he stops singing, because like people join in and stuff. But when he stops singing, it's like the camera cuts and everybody's back where they were before.
Right.
Sitting down. It's not like you see them like, ah, and then we finish singing.
Yeah,
we
finished our number.
It's like as if they were never part of it. And I was like, oh, don't
worry. So it's kind of like the singing's almost like shoehorned in a way. Like, is it like, does it add anything to the story? Does it develop with the characters at all?
If the songs are crap. The songs they choose are crap.
Are they covers? Like,
Yeah. It's a jukebox musical, you know, Lynn. So
why did can you explain to me why, when the Joker was such a big hit among a lot of people, present company excluded, why
also stinks?
Is this just one of those things that they're trying to do, where it's like, oh, we're shaking, we're, you know, changing the mold.
Todd Phillips is like,
is it a try hard?
He's like, you like Joker? Well, I'm gonna make a movie that says fuck you because you liked the first one.
Yeah.
That movie was never supposed to get 10 Oscar nominations and it was never supposed to make $1 billion.
Right.
Pugh, I spit in your face, like, you know. It's just really, I'm like, how about you just make a good movie?
It's like a fuck you to the fans.
Yeah. And that's what everybody's saying. You kind of get that feeling. The thing that bugs me is like, you put Lady Gaga in the movie, she's singing like Joaquin Phoenix. She's singing like, and I'm like,
what is that?
I'm like, Leonard, and there's a couple of times where it's like she belts it out and you're like, oh, okay, great, why are we saving it for here? Or why, you know, why isn't it, why don't it, feels like it's not committing to it, but I also think that seems purposeful, and I'm like, that's just frustrating, it's just annoying. And it kind of just recaps the first movie.
Was the movie itself
not really? Brendan Gleeson is in it, he's probably the best part about it. I kind of like him.
I mean there's a movie that I can absolutely 100% guarantee that I will never ever
the second
watch.
One
yeah. Or the first. I haven't seen the first either.
We talked a little while ago and you were like, I saw a clip, I thought
yeah.
I liked
and you were like, but then you were like, that's the best fucking bit in the movie. I was like, Grant, nailed it.
It's a frustrating thing. 2 stars. Not as bad as Deadpool and Wolverine. I wasn't as frustrated.
Yeah.
I wasn't as angry.
I feel like I would be enraged about this. Because it's Joaquin Phoenix as well, first of all. And it's just like they're trying too hard. You know what I mean? To be like, they'll never expect? A musical. Oh, like, the concept is like...
But it's like they could have done a good musical. Like, get Damien Chazelle doing the Joker musical.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
Get the king.
He's not the king.
Snivelling putts.
I don't know. Look, he's very talented.
Oh, what is that? What's your beef with Lin-Manuel?
Yeah, I just told you. He whines too much. You know what I mean? Like,
he's a bit of a weasel, isn't he?
He
did Moana songs, didn't he?
Yeah, and that's the problem. Like, the song where it's like, oh, way, oh, way. And it's like,
well, sad, of course, to find.
Yeah, but like, between the wind and the stars, and you're like, oh, okay. You know, it's just, I can hear him like straining. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Okay. A little worm.
Yeah. I didn't care for it. So
two stars. And for the rest of us, that's a solid half a star for the rest of us.
Can I ask you, just before we get into our list, have you seen they're making a movie about Robbie Williams?
No.
It's called A Better Man.
Oh, the monkey thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that all about?
I don't know.
So Robbie Williams is the monkey?
Yeah, he's a CGI monkey in the thing, but it's his...
His voice?
I think so. I think he's playing the monkey.
I mean, there's a movie that doesn't need to be made, huh?
Why are you doing it like that? Like,
That's another one. It's another fucking...
What's the angle, though? Like, why is he a monkey?
That's... But you know what, Terry? That's the thing that makes me go, shut up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the Joker thing, but it's a musical. Or, sorry, Robbie Williams? What? And he's a monkey? Shut up. Yeah. Just shut up.
But I wanted to use this as a jumping off point because...
Sorry.
Because when I'm hearing people talk about it, they're like, why are we getting the Robbie Williams movie? Like, in America, he's not a...
Yeah.
Big guy, like, why are we getting this? And then I was like, isn't it mad how he was never, ever, ever able to crack America? But he has...
I don't think it's mad.
I do, because he has the joint number one albums in UK chart history.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. He sold out Nebworth, which is what?
Yeah, like hundreds 80,000? Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, he had tons of number one hits in... the UK as a singles artist. Like, he was huge.
I feel like he... Do you know what? I remember specifically... Do you remember that reality show where Busted were trying to break America?
No.
And with good cause.
You were a Busted head, actually, when I first met you.
Yeah, I
were you
I,
glad that they crashed that wedding?
No, but... What? What wedding?
Wasn't that Busted?
You think of McFly?
Whatever.
I certainly hope that you're not confusing a legit great band in McFly.
Well, they became
whatever
one,
the fuck.
They
Busted
became
were.
One.
What? Oh yeah, McBusted or something.
Yeah.
I can't.
So
say.
Hold on. Or which, who did crash the wedding? McFly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The song. Cause I'm glad I crashed the wedding.
Oh, it might be McFly.
You're a Busted fan?
Oh, I'm a McFly fan.
Okay.
I'm a big McFly fan.
Well, hold on, McFly. You don't know if they've done that song. Okay.
No, I mean, I don't know them that well.
Okay, Busted but, World Tour or whatever.
Yeah, Busted were doing a thing where they're trying to break America. And I remember an American exec saying, like, Robbie Williams came over here. He said, I'm going to take over. He flew over first class and we sent him back on coach. You know, like, and I remember thinking, like, so we're not going to let that happen to you guys. And
Busted. They crashed the wedding. I was right.
All right. Yeah, well, that's why I don't get it. But McFly now, forget about it.
Were they year 3000?
That's Busted.
That's Busted. So what was McFly? What was a McFly song?
I can't think. I can't sing it now. But Colours in Her Hair. That was the first one.
Colours
in Her Hair. That was the first one.
Okay, yeah.
There was a great one called Who's David. That was a great one. Terrible name for a song, but... They had some, and I've forgotten like their three best ones, and kicking myself.
What's your favorite Robbie Williams song?
My favorite Robbie Williams song. Ooh, shit. Oh, let's go through some of them.
Okay, let me entertain you.
I don't like any more.
Hell's gone and heaven's here. There's nothing left for you to fear, Andy. Yeah. Shake your ass, come over here. Now Scream. Supreme. That was a good one.
Oh, where did that one go?
When there's no...
That's the one. That's the one I was thinking of.
That's a good
I
one.
I like that one. I like
New
Supreme.
Century.
Yeah, I like that one.
Then there's Millennium, of course.
No.
That's good. That could have been a Bond theme. Like.
I could tell they were trying for it to be.
Angels?
Angels is fine. I've just heard it way too much.
Road to Mandalay?
No.
Save
Kids.
Kids, the fucking banger.
Come on, jump on board.
And then what's the end?
I'm going to give it all of my love.
And
just going
up. And then he does like a little, I'm anomaly.
Sean Connery.
Bone 74. There's only one of me.
I'm so enraged. I'm
Rock
so
DJ?
Oh, no.
Rock DJ?
I fucking hate Rock DJ so bad.
Cause you're keeping me up all
every time
night.
I hear it on the radio, I get annoyed. I'm like, who's
number
actually
one? It was a huge
listening
hit
to the radio.
The whole of
in this
UK and Ireland were listening to it. Oh, well, I'm just saying,
yeah, and just been like, oh, great, turn it up. Rock DJ's on.
Then, of course, you forget his brilliant album, Swing When You're Winning.
Oh, give me Life Through a Lens any day over that.
I remember when I first met you. I was listening to Swing When You're Winning because I'm a big Frank Sinatra guy. It certainly was back then, anyway.
Yeah.
I still am to an extent. And then you had this irrational hatred for the Westlife album.
Allow us to be frank.
It's right there.
Like, Just call it Let Us Be Frank. Allow us to be frank. It drives me so...
It drives me batshit. I think of it so often still.
It was like Dante's Peak and Volcano. They wrote around the same time.
Yeah.
I would say Swing When You're Winning is the Dante's Peak, which in my opinion is
the better one.
Superior, yeah.
Yeah, and Volcano is the...
Allow Us to Be Frank.
Allow Us to Be Frank. It's like, and it's an extra syllables, and it's just...
I kind of like it.
Let Us Be Frank. That's so succinct and good. Allow Us... Who?
Allowed I like
this?
It.
Who
I,
allowed this?
Allow Us to Be Frank. Let Us Be Frank. See, I don't think that works.
Let Us Be... Surely Let Us Be Frank. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let Us Be Frank. Bum. Easy.
All right.
You know?
Well,
stupid is what it is.
After that meltdown, it's time to move on to our main event from our request by one of our lovely Patreon subscribers.
Evan. And sorry, I got it wrong last time. I said it was Rob, and it wasn't Rob. And fuck, I can't even remember the name.
Yep.
Oh, I shouldn't even. I brought it up. But thank you so much for all the suggestions. Really, really.
This is a good
it.
Suggestion. I had a lot of fun with this.
I really struggled.
Yeah.
I won't lie.
Funny that.
I've got some, I tell you what, I got a great suggestion today from our man Rob, who was apologetic about Trump getting in. I was like,
it's not
Rob,
his fault.
Rob, it's not your fault. You did all
just
you
one vote, man.
But he has some banging ideas, so we'll do that next week. But,
okay, so we're going single season of television first.
Yeah, you go first.
I have a great one, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's by my man Damon Lindelof of Lost fame.
Oh.
It's a little TV show called Watchmen.
Ah, yes.
This show, it's purposely, I think it's only one season. So it's one of those ones that wasn't cancelled, but it was, and I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. Did you see the movie Watchmen?
No, I didn't.
It's okay. It's not great. It's Snyder. But what it does...
A bit too long, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lots of speed ramping, slow-mo, speed up like stuff.
I like that you used an editing term there, speed ramping.
Yeah, man. Very he nice. Was, he was mad for it. Like, right did you ever see 300?
No.
You know, all that stuff where it was like he kicks somebody and they go down the hole or whatever that. Like,
generally, that actually bugs me when they do that in movies, but.
Yeah, he went crazy with it for a period. Like,
not Tony Scott on him.
No.
Whatever. I'm trying to talk your language here.
But this kind of. Because I read the graphic novel,
mm-hmm.
and the movie is slightly different than the graphic novel in that it ends differently. And what this TV show does brilliantly is like it takes all the stuff from the movie and it kind of makes it a sequel. It's set in the world like 30 years later, I think, or whatever like that. Like,
right.
And it starts off with like...
So sorry, the series is 30 years later.
Yeah. And it starts off with a real thing that happened in that there was a massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in the 50s.
Yeah.
And it starts off with that, and it's set in modern day Tulsa, which I found interesting that it's like, oh, you're choosing to set your superhero movie
in Tulsa.
In Tulsa, yeah. But it works. It works incredibly well. And it's Regina King, who you may remember from our Enemy of the State episode, exclusively over on our Patreon for the low, low fee of €5 a month. God, she was Will Smith's wife.
Oh, movie. Yeah. We were quite complimentary of her.
She's great. And she plays like Sister Knight or something like that, like where she is like a vigilante.
What year was this out?
This was out 5 years ago or something. Like, it's really, and it's really fucking good.
Why is it only one season then?
Because he just was telling a story and then he was like,
all right,
and
that's
it. You know what I mean?
That's all you get.
Yeah. And it's like 9 episodes, I think, and it's fucking class. Like, it's really well made. There's mysteries dropped in through, and they pay them off spectacularly, in my opinion. And by the end, I was like, I want more. I know I'm not getting more.
Yeah.
But that's a sign of something.
That's how they get you. That's it.
Where the ending is like almost perfect, where you're like, oh shit, like what they were talking about, they leave it on a note where it's like, it could happen or it could not happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't want to spoil it. Damon Lindelof, I think, is one of the more underrated.
What's he done?
Again? He was Lost. He was Lost. But then he did Prometheus, which is, you know, another one of my faves.
Yeah.
And he I think he wrote the 2009 Star Trek as well, like with Chris Pine.
That did well.
That was a good movie. That was a good movie.
Can I say I have gotten a lot of pushback on my opinion on Unstoppable?
Yeah.
From the Patreon. Good. Last week. I shit all over that movie, and Tony was like, "What mood were you in when you were watching it? What happened that was different this time?" And I'm like, "Look, I was kind of rushing it." I'm like, he's like, "Aha! I fucking knew it." And he's like,
Tony.
He's like, "Denzel's not a fucking gangster in it. Like, yeah, he's real and all this sort of stuff."
That's what's great about him.
Flash telling me it was a good movie, and he's like, "Just, I mean, I had one person backing me up on the Patreon, Neil. I love you, man, but everyone else,
Neil, you're on my enemies list."
Really did not care for it, but yeah. Anyway. Okay,
so that's my single season one.
Okay,
what do you got?
Aha!
Ah,
knowing me, knowing you.
Great fucking show.
I was.
That's my favorite, Alan Partridge.
Is it?
It's my favorite.
Like, it's so. I mean, the. It's so condensed.
I actually kind of forgot that it's just the one.
Yeah.
Because like I always intrinsically link it
with the
I'm Alan Partridge.
Exactly.
The, like the APU.
Yeah, exactly. It's where it's kind of like it's just so like I would probably prefer I'm Alan Partridge if I was watching them now.
I went back and watched it, but I prefer.
But knowing me, knowing you. And the Christmas one is so fucking good because it's like,
you're a man.
Yeah. It's like, but you're not a woman, are you? You know? Or but like the knowing me, knowing you stuff where it's just like,
Alan.
Yeah. Or like he's doing
Head
the
slapping.
He's doing the duet. So ignore him. You know? Or like that's where I get the surprise me in rehearsal, Terry. Yeah, don't surprise me live on
that when I watched it back then. Head slapping.
Yeah.
Just like he's just
a system of head slapping. A system of head slapping. And you know what? It's the little the real comedy in Alan Partridge as well is when he's live and like he's just showing his disdain for whoever he's talking to, like the band guy up top, or some guest who he's not quite getting on with, and like he's just trying to like not let it show, and it's just so. And then the Christmas special is really good, where he's just trying to kind of feel out if he's getting a second series live on air, and it was just it was really good. And
of course,
it's the start. Well, the day today was the start, but it's like his own.
It's the start. It's his. Well, I guess Coogan's bluff.
Well,
Coogan's Run, was Coogan's it? Like,
Run?
Coogan's Run was a sketch show that he had.
Yeah, and I'm not that familiar with that, actually.
I remember seeing it when I was younger, like 10, and really liking it, because like, what's this? And it was never on. I think it was on around Christmas, funnily enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this is cool. This is, like, because I was like, I like Alan Partridge, and my dad's like, his name is Steve Coogan. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, his name's Alan Partridge.
It says
like,
it right there.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm Alan Partridge. Or, knowing me, knowing you. And it's like, Alan, but the guy, but it's Steve Coogan. That was another thing that I was like, what do you mean? His name is Steve Coogan. His name's Alan Partridge. And he's like, no, like that's his stage name. Like,
yeah.
What? No. It couldn't wrap my head around.
You're wrong.
Yeah. No, it says Alan Partridge.
But yeah, that's what I would probably, like, you know, an alternate shout before I had the brainwave of Know Me, Know You was possibly The Mayor of Easttown, which I really liked. Couldn't think of a lot of one season wonders.
There's very few that I looked at that I was like, that are really good that get cancelled after.
Yeah, because it's kind of like it has to be the creator's choice almost.
Like Mayor of Easttown, they're talking about they could do a second season with that, like, you know.
So I remember being a little underwhelmed at the ending, but I remember the first few episodes I was hooked.
I've been watching Agatha All Along.
Oh yeah.
So I finished that.
Any good?
Yeah, it was really good actually. Okay. Like no, but it is for what it is, you know what I mean? Like, and I would say that's what MCU TV shows should be.
It should be doing.
It's like this is its own little comic strip off to its side.
Yeah.
It's not like, and that's gonna bridge the gap between this movie and whatever.
And you have to watch that because if you only want to know what happens in the post credit scene of the fourth movie that's coming up. Yeah, yeah.
So played. But the guy, remember the guy that was in Mayor of Easttown was also in WandaVision, and he's in Agatha as well.
Right.
And I remember thinking, this spoilers for Mayor of Easttown, but when you're like, he meets his fate, like, I remember being like, he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
He's like, he's had a really good day. He kissed Mayor and they had a drink.
Yeah, yeah.
And they go into the house and then it's just like, oh, yeah. You know, that's good TV.
Where you're like, oh, come on.
Like, oh, something bad's going to happen to him now. Yeah, like, yeah. You know? And then you really feel it. You're like, ah, oh, I didn't want Yeah, didn't want that to happen.
All right, what's your season? What's your two season wonder?
Okay, my two season wonder is on Netflix. It's sitting right there for anybody who wants to go and watch it. Mindhunter. It's by my man David Fincher, and it's all about
Shipwreck.
Who?
Shipwreck.
Who's Shipwreck?
Finch. That's what I'm going to call him now.
Fincher.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. So it's all about the creation of the behavioral science unit in the FBI.
Oh, yeah.
And like...
Oh, I watched the first couple episodes of that.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it.
But. I think it's incredible. I wish... With all the money Netflix give them...
Yeah.
I'm like, give them money to do another one of that. And they're like, oh, it's too expensive. It's an expensive show to make.
Right.
And he's like... puts a lot of detail and control into his stuff.
Sounds like a nightmare to work for.
Well, yeah, kind of. But some people, like Jake Gyllenhaal, was like, I'll never work with him again.
Oh, really?
But like Mark Ruffalo tells a story on Zodiac where he's like, he's doing a scene or whatever, and he's like, okay, so it's like, got all his stuff out, and he's like, okay. And Fincher's coming up, and he's like, telling everybody, yeah, great, 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 great. And he's like, so he's waiting for him to talk about his performance, and he's like, and you, Mark, could you just stand a little bit to the right of where you are?
Yeah.
And we're going to go again. And he was like, oh, I get it. Like, I'm just a thing in this shot or whatever like that. Like,
yeah.
That's how he's so precise that it's like, and I'm going to put my actor here and he's going to do that.
My actor's here. Yeah. My chair is here. Yeah. My lamp is here.
Whereas Gyllenhaal, I think, had a bit of a, not breakdown, but it was like he was doing...
Makes him do it a bunch of times.
Yeah, and then it was like... But then after that, he did stuff like Nightcrawler. And so I'm like...
Nightcrawler?
No, but it's just like, I wonder if that like unlocked something in Gyllenhaal where it's like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, and then
it's
like, yeah.
Go do something over here.
I feel like that would really like great on you, though. You know what I mean?
And then maybe push it in a different direction.
Especially because like, I'd imagine it'd be quite hard to like give it everything that you have. And then you're like, okay, nail that one. And then it's like, again. And then like,
we're going to go back to top.
And then to get up to that level again. And then again. And then again. I mean, I guess that's why they get paid millions of dollars. Yeah. But
from every angle, we
already did it.
It's an incredible show. It's a, like, the real juice is when they're talking to the people. Like, they're talking to real serial killers, actors playing the real serial killers. But like, just have those interactions when they're sitting down and you're like, this is really fucking unnerving. Like, the guys, and you see the pictures of like, oh, this is what it looks in real life. And like, that's the performance he's giving. You're like, fuck, that's good. It's just a great show, man.
Do you know what? I think I remember actually not disliking it. Like, I remember liking it.
There's not like plot. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think I was didn't feel it's kind the of urge like, to go back.
Who are we going to talk to today or whatever? And you're traveling to this town. He killed five children or whatever.
Yeah, you're gonna learn what's all about, what he's all about. Exactly. Okay.
What's your two season wonder?
My two season
your doubler.
Wonder. I'm sticking very much to the UK comedy, to be honest, but the UK Office.
Yeah.
I've got to give it. And look, I'm not going to talk about it too much. We talk about it a lot over
the
years.
Every chance you fucking get.
Yeah, exactly. I could have gone with I'm Alan Partridge, but
that would have been interesting.
I think the UK Office.
And The Trip would have been their third.
Oh, yeah,
or they do four. Did they do four?
I think they did four. Yeah. I feel like it just can't be topped, and I genuinely I feel like it shaped how I view comedy, if you'll excuse the expression, how I do comedy on my little forays into things. It's very much like just part of like what I think is funny, that style, and I think. It was a seminal comedy of the time.
There was a shift, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was like nothing else on the UK scene or anything like that. Like, no laugh track.
Yeah.
Uncomfortably funny.
Yeah.
Dark enough. Like, you know.
And you'd kind of turn it on, and if you're only flicking, you would think it's a real, like, you know...
ITV documentary or
Like, you know, because like on paper and like what I like about it, they were talking about it in like whatever, some interview, and it was like the difference between that and like the US Office is like the US Office is like real wacky and like whoa, you know, or like parkour or fire drill something like that, whereas like the difference in like the UK Office is like if Don just touches Tim's shoulder for a sec,
It's like, that's as big as a, you know, a kiss in another show, you know, because it's like, oh, that little, because you're getting these tiny little, and it was very real to office life.
But also when they were doing hijinks or whatever in the office, you're like, it always stayed grounded. It was like somebody's messing in the office, but it was like, that could actually happen in the office there or whatever, as opposed to, like you say, the fucking stuff in the US. Like, They learned that they needed to lean into the curve.
Yes.
You know, whereas Gervais and them had the restraint to be like, no.
I don't think the US office would have worked if they'd have gone.
They tried it. Remember the first season? Yeah. Like, nobody watched it. Wasn't that good? Like, no.
Literally, the first episode is line for line the UK office.
Isn't the first six the same episodes?
No, because I think they do like a basketball game at the warehouse. Okay. But I remember the very first is literally line for line. And I'm like, just didn't.
There's a new one. Office Australia. On Prime Video,
call us something else, but just have it based in an office. Like, is there a Jim and Pam in the US? In the
I think there's America? Versions of it, I guess. Like, you know,
just call it something else at this stage.
Like, you call it The Office, same way The Office US. But
maybe,
like,
I guess. But like, it's been office redone once.
Oz,
Ozfiz. Huh? You like that?
No, not at all. No. Okay, my three season wonder. Now, I'm going to say this is my official pick. I'm not going to talk about it because I talked about it on the finale. But like, my official pick is The Leftovers. It's three seasons. We talked about it on the top five finales.
Yeah.
Go watch the show, guys. It's brilliant. My other one that I'm going to talk about here, I'm going to give you... So like, that's... Just go watch it. If you're listening, you're interested, whatever, go watch that show.
Yeah.
It's the one we talked about where 3% of the population disappear. It's incredible, incredible. Again, Damon Lindelof.
Leftovers, is it?
The Leftovers. Yeah. It's on... Our buddies Now TV have it all there ready for you to watch. But this other show I'm going to talk about is Hannibal.
Oh.
Did you ever watch that show?
No, I
think it's on Netflix, or it was.
Yeah.
It's Mads Mikkelsen as Hannibal.
Hey, good choice.
Oh, man. Unreal choice. You get Larry Fishburne as one of the FBI agents.
I assume he's Lawrence in this.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Post
Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. this is such a stylized show, but it's also, like, it's a weird, like, love story between Hugh Dancy, who plays, what's the fucking name of the guy from Manhunter? Jack Crawford?
Yeah.
No, Jack Crawford is Lawrence Fishburne. Anyway, it's three seasons. They do... parts of each book, bar Silence of the Lambs. They didn't have the rights to Silence of the Lambs. It's a whole weird rights thing. But it's very gory at times.
Ooh.
But like, also, like, they make a beauty. They make a point of being like, death can be beautiful.
Right.
Gillian Anderson is in there playing the shrink to Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Ah, good choice.
She's incredible. Yeah.
She doesn't get enough work, really, does she?
I mean, she does all right. Like, she has that show on Netflix, Sex Education.
Oh, is she
like
in that?
Four seasons. I think she's the mom who's the sex therapist in it.
Okay.
And she looks incredible.
She does look great.
Yeah. You know, she looks great in this. It's just Will Graham is the name of the character. But go watch it. Like, if you want to see Mads Mikkelsen being devious, also a bit sultry, and you know, the food, the whole thing is he prepares the food looks incredible on the screen. It's people that he's serving to other people, but it looks incredible. Amazing. And it's a show that, like, I think at the time in the States they were like, this is the best show on television for like 2 or 3 years running.
Yeah.
And then it never
took off, really, like,
over here. I mean, like, I know like 2 or 3 people that watched it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But all, like, when I was reading, like, top 10 TV shows of the year, that was always near the top, but it was in America. So, go watch it.
You need to, you know,
I don't need to move to America.
No, but I was going to say, like, the funny thing is, like, all the stuff that you like, your taste in stuff really mirrors what my brother's taste in stuff. It's like you really landed the wrong Cantwell. Well, maybe the podcast wouldn't be as good because you'd just be agreeing with each other all the time.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, what about this?
But
what's your third? What's your three season?
Now, when I was trying to, before I had...
Oh, I know what it is already.
What is it?
Father Ted.
Yep. Yep, that's what I'm
What was that
actually is it.
Well, what was the other one?
I had a few. I was going to say bottom because I'm a big
bottom.
I mean, it's like on paper, it's not the best.
No,
it's show.
It's highs and lows,
but it nothing. When I am watching bottom, I'm in a warm, happy blanket.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can describe it. I love it. I was going to say Deadwood before I thought of that because I really liked Deadwood when it was out.
Deadwood's incredible.
But yeah, it's actually got to be Father Ted. Yeah. Thank God you remembered that because I'd be kicking myself.
I mean, that's the best comedy show ever.
I mean, it's just, I mean, it's, it rivals, I think it rivals The Simpsons in terms of laughs per minute, or you know what I mean? Just in like, it's fucking every episode, every, there is not 1 minute. There is not one unfunny minute.
I can't
of
wait
that show.
To show it to my kids when they're all, and just see what they think of it. Like,
they'll be, and do you know what's funny? Because like we look at it and we remember that time in the '90s and stuff. I'd say that looks incredibly old now to kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like,
but I mean, like, it's still funny. But the general environment,
it's
or
like
how,
when
how
we
they were,
Faulty Towers or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
you know what I mean?
Like.
But yeah, Father Ted was just, and it's funny because like on paper, what like Ted's not the best actor. Arlo Hanlon's not the best actor. You know, Frank Kelly had a minimal role, but like all together, it just, they did their roles.
It's
so
the perfect
good.
Like stew. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's, and like the writing.
What's
was
your
so
favorite
good.
Father Ted episode?
Oh, I have to think about that. Do you have one?
I think it's the sheep.
Mm.
I think it's the like burpy chirpy
chirpy burpy cheep cheep.
Yeah, I think just for how how like,
I mean, when you compare it to last year, like, it's like a different sheep.
I was like, don't be too hard on them. Sorry, I don't know what your name is. Alan. Don't be too hard on them, Alan. And then like the button at the end where it's like Ted, they're walking out and it's like a lovely like sunset.
Yeah.
It's like, Ted, if that's true, then doesn't that mean we lose the bet? And he's like, just like the stamping of the feet and like,
and the little like, you know, where he's like, you know, the one that we all use, but like, Fargo boy, like, fucking hell. Like, and they use the exact same sound bite for like 2 minutes later.
But when they see him, he's like, he's on a bike. With the big,
is he wearing a crown?
Yeah, exactly.
He's trying to get away.
It's like he has like a fur coat on the
man.
Bike.
And a crown. Man. Oh my god. Maybe we could just do this.
Yeah, I mean, like, really cool. Like, you know, the raffle episode. You
it's
know.
I think I was going to say the raffle one might be up there. I was a big fan.
Jesus, I forgot the records.
I was always a big fan of Speed 3. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the early
Pat Mustard, like,
and a lot of like the early ones, but anyway, it's just fucking quality show.
Great.
Done. That was a great laugh. Well, folks, you can catch us if you like this and you want more of it. Well, you can catch us over on the old Patreon there. Now, what's the Patreon? I said it's the Patreon. Patreon.com/whatssogreatabout. €5 a month. You get, we just finished our What's So Great About Tony Scott, the movies of Tony Scott. We've also done an MCU series, 90s action. Ryan Gosling, Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies, about 50 top 5 episodes. Apologies, by the way, I didn't realise I had I put out a free Patreon episode this week, and then I was informed that I put that out 2 months ago. So sorry about that.
I feel like I should have been on top and be like, hey, why don't we pick something for the Halloween roll on?
Didn't think.
Life gets in the way.
Finds a way. That's it.
Yeah. Well, Andy, you know what? You're right. You're saying it's a low, low fee of €5 a month. But if you can't afford €5 a month, well.
talk to someone. You know what I mean? Talk to Frank.
But you know what you can do?
Yep.
You can give me a rating review. Now, Andy.
Yeah, sorry.
We were talking about Robbie Williams having the joint most number one albums in UK chart history. And I think he has 9 or 10. But I don't want a 9 or 10 star review. I want a 5 star review.
That was a dubious one. Yeah. But yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. That's good.
I don't have the figures in front of me.
I thought you were going to be like, obviously, €5 a month. But another thing with 5, I thought you were going to lead into it that way.
Well, I didn't.
But you didn't.
No. So yeah, give me a rating review over on the old podcast of your choice, where it's Apple Podcasts,
give
Spotify.
Us a rating you said me. Yeah. It's us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, just want to hit that in the button.
The royal me.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, do that, please. Thank you. Really helps grow the podcast, get some new ears on it. And Andy mentioned, you know, we just finished up our mini-series on Tony Scott over on the Patreon. We're starting a brand new one this week. It's What's So Great About Heist Movies. And we're kicking it off with 2001's Ocean's 11. You're going to have a good time. Come join us.
We're literally about to talk about it now. If you're hearing this, it's already out. What are you waiting for?
Yeah. Come on over.
And thanks very much for listening. And thank you, Neil Murray, as always, for the theme tune and everything else.
What a great guy, huh? We love you, Neil. Hey.
Goodbye.